It's good to be here again this Sunday. I've really enjoyed coming here and sharing the word with you. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I got a passion for the word of God. And a passion for him. I was sitting in a doctor's office a couple years ago. And I had my little testament with me, and I'd taken a lot of the ladies from the church down to the doctor. And I was sitting there reading my Bible, and there was a Muslim sitting next to me, and he says, "Oh, you're a Christian." And I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Well, we worship the same God." And I said, "But we have two different heavens." And he says, "How's that?" And I says, "Yours is all, listen to me, yours is all about sensuality. It's all about what you're going to get when you get there. Ours is all about worship. Ours is all about him. And when we get to heaven, if you don't like serving him here, you won't like heaven, because we're going to serve him through eternity. It's all about him. It is all about worship. Worship for all eternity. All about Jesus. Isn't it amazing? We sang about crowns today, and he wore a crown of thorns, and when he comes back on a white steed, right, on a white horse, and he has many crowns. He has many diadems. And when we receive our judgment, which is not unto condemnation, because we all have to stand before God. Amen. Chapter 3 of Corinthians tells us we all will get rewards. How big you want your crown to be? I used to ask people, how big do you want it be? That is our dowry. Remember, this Bible is Jewish. I'm off my sermon, by the way. It's our dowry. And the Father in heaven gives us a dowry that we lay at the feet of Jesus Christ, the wedding feast of the Lamb. For he's the only one worthy of glory, honor, praise, and power, it tells us in the book of Revelation. Well, the Muslim that was sitting next to me, I explained to him two different heavens, two different paradises. He never uttered a word, but you know why? I believe all's we're to be in this world is sowers and waterers. Sow a little seed, water a little. But who gives the increase, church? He gives the increase. Why? So he gets the glory. So he gets the glory. Today, if you'll turn with me in Galatians, turn to the book of Galatians with me. We're going to take a little journey. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. We're going to take a journey from the Old Testament. First Sunday I was here, I told you I took this from Adrian Rogers, by the way. Adrian Rogers all referred to the Bible as a hymn book. It's all about him. Adrian Rogers, I borrowed this from him too. I borrow a lot of things from men of God. And he said, "You don't read the Bible reads you." Amen? Does that make sense? Bible reads you. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6, it says, "Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." How many of us sang that when we were kids? You ever sing that same song? Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham's. Are you a son? Why? Because we're found in the seed. The seed, look down with me if you would. The 15th verse. He says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed. No man disannulleth or added thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to the seeds as many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Isaac. Abraham's son. Now listen, Isaac is the only begotten son of Abraham. Digest that. He's the only begotten son of Abraham. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, as we study your word today, let us forget about the cares of the world. We ask that your Holy Spirit will instruct us, Father, in your word. Bring us closer to that love relationship that you so desire to have with us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through his Spirit which dwells in us. Your word is clear. Your word tells if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of his. And Father, today, if there's one out here that's had never trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, if they see Jesus today, the hope of glory, will you convict them of their sin? Will you cause them to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior this day? And we'll rejoice with all the angels in heaven and praise you for their salvation. It's in Jesus' name that we're gathered, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So where are we going for this journey? We got to go back to Genesis. Amen. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 15. Chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. We're going to skip through here readily. Chapter 15, verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell me how many stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The promise. Simple faith, believing. That God's not a promise breaker, is he? Have you ever seen any place in the Bible where God says something, and he guarantees it, and then he breaks that promise? Nowhere. He's not a promise breaker. If you turn forward with me just a couple chapters to the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 9, it says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? Now these three have come and are asking where Sarah is. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to thine life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind her. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which, when I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? What's the answer to that, church? Not a thing. She laughed. How many of you know what Isaac's name means, by the way? Does anybody here know? You know? What does it mean? Laughter. Isn't that coincidence, right? She laughed. She's in the tent. The Lord's out there with two angels. They're getting ready to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And she hears them talking. And she laughs within herself. How is it possible that God could bring from a dead womb a child? Or how is it possible that God could bring from a dead tomb a Savior? Nothing is impossible with God. We're looking at an Old Testament picture. Old Testament picture and promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Over in the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 6, it says the promise is fulfilled. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had and said, the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Laughter. Or Isaac, right? Isaac. The promise is fulfilled. We know that he had another child by the bond woman, the bond servant Hagar. But this is his only begotten son. This is his own son. Turn forward to chapter 22. And we're going to look at the offering of Isaac on the hill outside of the land of Moriah. How many of you know where the land of Moriah is, or outside the gates of Jerusalem, by the way? I personally believe that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, walked up the same hill and was offered up as a sacrifice for the sins of all. I believe that wholeheartedly. And this is one of the most beautiful pictures that the Lord gives to us in the Old Testament of the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In chapter 8 of John, Jesus said, Abraham was glad. He was happy to see my day. And they said to him, you aren't even 50 years old. How is it possible that you saw Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, what did he say? Yahweh Shua, I am. I am the I am. Can you imagine how those Jews that heard him say that, they ripped at their clothes and they tore, because he just said that he was equal with God. That he was God in the flesh. That's why they sought to kill him. That's why they sought to stone him. How many times did you see in Scripture where he just kind of walked through the crowd? Why? Because he's God. He just blinds them. They're blinded anyway by the God of this world. Amen. Who's the God of this world? Amen. Watch as we read this chapter. Watch as we read. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram, or tested him, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went up unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Does this sound familiar to you? What did Jesus say? I'm going yonder, and I'm coming back. I'm going up yonder, but I'm coming back. Remember when the disciples stood and they looked at him as he rose into the sky, and the angel said what to him? Why do you stand here gazing into heaven? The same Jesus that ascended into heaven will return how? Same way. He's coming back. Why stand you here gazing? What about us? Why do we stand gazing? Now look at 6. It says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. God the Father took his precious lamb, Jesus Christ. Peter said, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Ooh, isn't that heavy? Think about it. God knew exactly what was going to happen, and He prepared a way before the foundation of the world that He could redeem us back to Himself. Isn't that hard to believe? The Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. The father Abraham took the wood and he placed it on the back of his son Isaac. And they walked up that mountain. I'm telling you, in my heart, I believe it was the same hill that Jesus Christ walked up. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here I am, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Here's a prophetic statement. The next verse. It says, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself, you hear me? Himself a lamb for the burnt offering. It was God in Christ reconciling us to himself, really. Isn't that what took place? God in Christ reconciling us to himself. This is an Old Testament prophecy. People say, well, that's impossible. Well, why is that? And he says, well, they found a goat in the thicket and they offered it and they called the place Jehovah Jireh. Well, there's a difference between a goat and a lamb. A big difference between a goat and a lamb. Prophecy. What day is this, church, that the Christian church celebrates? Palm Sunday. How many of you know that God prophesied right down to the very detail the time that Jesus would come into Jerusalem, into the world first? In Daniel chapter 9, you can do your homework when you go home. We don't have time for it this morning. Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 24 through 27, it detailed and outlined the time that Jesus would ride in on that foal of that ass into Jerusalem. It was 173,880 days from the completion in Nehemiah. AD 45, if you want to make a little note, you can do your homework and go from AD 45 forward and you'll come out. You know where you're going to come out at? Time of Jesus. When he rode in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and they waved the palm branches and they laid their coats in the streets so he could come through. And they cried out, Hosanna to the King! It's the only place in Scripture Jesus ever allowed anybody to call him King. You go back to Judges chapter 5:10. You know, the judges and the rulers rode on colts, foals of asses. But Jesus has never been ridden before. You know why? Everything God does is a first. And he got on that colt. That lamb, listen, that lamb that we celebrate at Christmas time, that baby in a manger, that precious lamb of God that grew up and was obedient to his father even unto death by the cross. Most horrific form of death. How many of you have probably all seen the movie Passion? I haven't, but pretty horrific, isn't it? People would walk out of theaters, unbelievers, after seeing that, weeping in tears, broken and torn apart, because they could not believe that God would take his precious baby lamb, raise him up to the fullness of a man, put him on a cross to die like that. For the likes of us. It just blows me away. And it was all prophesied in the Old Testament. This Bible has 66 books in it. It's a library. Written over somewhere between a 1400 and 1500 span of time by about 40 authors, depending on your study and your theology, and they all agree with one another. Now, how can that be possible? The Lamb. When Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, how did he see it? I think he saw all the way forward to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that would come into the world to die. You know, when I was a young man, I used to believe that, well, God knew, or Abraham knew, God wouldn't cause him to kill his son. That wasn't the faith that Abraham had. Hebrews tells us in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 17th verse, it tells us that Abraham believed God. Remember the promise? Can't break a promise. He knew that if he slew his son, God would fulfill that promise by raising his son from the dead. That was the faith that Abraham, that's big faith, folks. Huh? Big faith. He believed God. He says, I believe your promise. If I slay my son, God, you'll raise him from the dead to fulfill the promise. Well, there was only one that could ever die and be raised again, amen. And that was that baby that was born in a manger. That baby Emmanuel, who had different blood flowing through his veins. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. This is Christian doctrine here. That Jesus who taught the masses, who so many came to hear him, he had to sit out in a boat offshore. That one who fed the 5,000. The one a couple Sundays ago we saw raise Lazarus from the dead. I left out something in that sermon, folks, at the end. Why did he have to call Lazarus by name? If he had just said, rise, what would have happened? That graveyard has stood up. Because he is the resurrection of the life. He called Lazarus by name. And one day, he's going to call all who believe by name. And they're going to rise. They're going to meet him in the air. And the Bible says they'll be with him forever. You know that precious lamb that humbled himself and went to the cross, obedient to his father like Isaac was to his, willing to put the wood on his back, willing to walk up the hill of Calvary and die. And die. That baby in a manger that came into this world for one purpose, to redeem his own. Palm Sunday, they waved the palm branches. They sang Hosanna to the King. Those same voices 3 days later sang what? Crucify him! Crucify him! Ooh, gives me God bumps on my body when I say it. To think that those same people that praised him and sang Hosanna would yell, crucify him! And choose a murderer over Jesus. The day he rode in on that foal was the 10th day of Nisan. The Jewish calendar. Remember, this is a Jewish book, by the way. So you have to look everything in it through Jewish eyes, like the Seder. Right? With Jewish eyes. What did they do on the 10th day of Nisan, the Jewish priests? They go find that lamb to offer up as a sacrifice once a year for the atonement of sin. And it had to be without spot or blemish. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had different blood in his veins, praise God. He had no sin. Bible tells us he who knew no sin became sin for me. He took all my sin upon him and yours too. And here, on the 10th of Nisan, the true Lamb, Jesus Christ, rode into the Jerusalem and they didn't recognize him. You know, that was a very common name, by the way, in those days. Joshua. That's Jesus, right? Jesus is Greek or Roman. Joshua. So imagine they said when they came into Jerusalem, it says, who is that? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And the people went, huh? They didn't know him. They had no clue. If they'd have been studying their Bible, they could have followed it from Daniel right up to that very day and said, here comes the Messiah. How about you and me? We don't know the day or the hour that he's going to return. But are you ready? Are you looking? I look out in the world today and I say, get your rapture clothes on because time draws nigh. The Middle East is the key, friends. When he comes back, where's he coming? He's coming to Jerusalem. Pilate said to Jesus, he said, hey, don't you understand something, Jesus? I got the authority. I've got the power over your life. I can do anything with it I want. And Jesus smiled and said, but you wouldn't. But my Father gave it to you. Huh? Because he was his precious lamb. He could not die one tittle of time, jot or tittle of time, before his time. They took him out, and what did they do to him? It says they scourged him. I'm going to tell you right now, and I think you'll agree with me, I would never made it through the scourging. I'd have been dead corpse laying on the ground. They took a cat of nine tails and they tie a nail or a piece of pottery on that cat of nine tails. And they stripped him down to his waist and they pulled all the flesh off of his back. They punched him in the face, pulled out all of his hair. When you saw him, you wouldn't even have recognized him after they got done with him. And then they threw a purple robe on him and said, and ridiculed him as King of the Jews. And took that crown of thorns and squished it down on his head. Think about it. That's what he did for me. You know who that should have been up there getting all that scourging and beating and pounding? Me. The Apostle Paul said that he was what? He's the worst of all sinners. Well, I'll agree with Paul. Because I know me. There's only one sin that will separate anyone from God. The sin of unbelief. That is a sin. That is a sin. Not to believe in that one who came and died and was crucified on the cross. Imagine when he went up that hill with the cross beam on. Imagine the pain that he had when they drove the nails through his hands and his feet. Imagine the pain when they lifted up that cross beam and dropped it in that vertical slot and all the weight of it come down on his body and he stood there trying to push himself up just to get a breath of air. They say many people, most of the people when they were crucified, they weren't nailed. They were tied with leather straps. And they died from asphyxiation because they couldn't have enough energy to push themselves up any longer to get a breath of air. And they would die up there of asphyxiation. Here he is hanging between two criminals. And one said, if you're really who you say you are, what did he tell him to do? Yeah, get down. The other one says, can't you see this man has done nothing to deserve being up here? We're criminals. We deserve to be here. How about you and I? He is innocent. He says, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. When Jesus died on that cross, friends, he didn't go to hell. He went to paradise where Abraham was and he set those captives free. We see in Matthew, some of them were raised from the dead walking around the streets. Can you imagine? The Bible says, you believe that? Oh my. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who paid it all for the likes of me. And when I look at that, I think, oh, for the grace of God. when you walk through Walmart or wherever you are in this world and a sinner passes you, do you say, oh, but for the grace of God, there goes I? We're the only hope, friends. We're the only hope in this world. And what's the final good news? He raised on the third day, like the scripture says he would do. The psalmist tells us that his body wouldn't even see corruption like we saw Lazarus. His body hadn't even begun to decay. And when they came to the grave, the stone was already rolled back. Well, how did he get out of there? He's God, right? How did he get in the upper room? He's God. If he wanted to, he could will himself right in here today. But I'll tell you where I would be if he was. Laying dead face down right here. Dead. Because he's a holy God. And his brightness of his glory would slay me. Because I am a sinner, yet at least my body, my spirit would be with him. Amen. Paul said, what? I'm dead. My body's dead. Why? Because of sin. But my spirit is alive because of Jesus. And like I said the first Sunday I came here, I said, death just means separation. Where are you going when you die and you're separated? You see the disciples run down to the tomb, look in, they see the clothes. John ran fast and he got there and looked in, saw the clothes. In the book of John, it says they saw two angels in that, one sitting at the head and one sitting at the foot. Where'd you ever see that at before? Oh, my friends. The Ark of the Covenant. With the angel wings, and Jesus is the Ark. Jesus is the Ark. And he rose. They thought he, women thought he was the gardener. What did the angels tell him? Who are you looking for? Well, we're looking for Jesus. And they said, well, you're not going to find him here. You know, I'm paraphrasing all this stuff, don't you? You're not going to find him here because the living aren't amongst the dead. I go to church after church after church, preach revivals and do all these things. There's a lot of dead wood in the church. I don't care if you've been going to church 50 years. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and don't understand who he is, you're going to be separated from God for all eternity. But praise be to God if you know Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and you know him personally. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Paul told us in Philippians, because of Jesus' obedience, God gave him a name. Right? That's a name that's above all names, that every knee will bow. You hear that word? Pretty inclusive, isn't it? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee. So you can bow willingly and submit to him and his lordship, or one day you're going to be like them soldiers that came to arrest him. Do you remember that? They brought a whole legion of soldiers down there to arrest Jesus. 300 men to arrest one guy. And they said, who do you seek? And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And what did he say? I am. He said, Yahushua, and his glory sprung forth because of his name, and they all fell face down on the ground. Wow. Is that good news? Because sinners can't stand before a holy God. Amen? That's right. We celebrate Christmas, but this is what we should celebrate every week. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ For Jesus himself said, as oft as you do this, right here, where's the power at? What is that? Community. As oft as you break bread with one another, and you do this where? In remembrance. Where's the power? In remembering. So we can walk out of here on Sunday and say, praise God. Praise God that He loved me enough to give me a Savior. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. Why? It be works. Before we close, I want you to think about this just for 1 second. Imagine heaven and what it would sound like if we could earn our way to heaven. He'd owe me something. And when I got to heaven, I'd just be bragging on myself. Amen. That's what I'd be doing if I got there by works. Be up here bragging, and the heaven would be noisy. Everybody up here bragging, I did this, I saved this person, I saved that person, I did this for Jesus. There's only one thing in heaven we're ever going to brag on. Jesus and Him alone. If you have no testimony, you only need one word. Jesus. Now here's a simple way. You can write this word down if you want, because I use it. Prerogatives. You know what a prerogative is? When Jesus came to this world, He was all deity. He was all God and He was all man. He was the man God, or the God man. And He set down certain prerogatives, like when He hung on that cross, it says He could have called a legion of angels out, right? To set Him free, but He couldn't. Because the love cords of God held Him to the cross. He set down His prerogatives. He stepped out of eternity. Picture that. How many of you, as if you were all sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven, how many of you would say, send me down, give me a body, you know the Bible says a body hath He prepared, that I might die for all those sinners down there. Paul says in Romans, you might be willing to die for a good man, but a bad guy? Come on. I'm going to close with this little story. You know, I always got to tell a story, right? True story. There was this judge in this small town. He was a hanging judge. You know what that means? It means if you go before Him, He has no mercy for you. I don't care what you go there for. He's going to give you the 9 full yards, or whatever the law required. No in-betweens. You're getting the full bore of the law. Well, his son got arrested for drunk driving. And his son had to go to court before his daddy. Anybody ever heard this story before? Had to go to court before his daddy. Everybody in town had to show up because they wanted to see what his daddy was going to do to the son. Is he going to be merciful, or is he going to give him the full proportion of the law? And the son stood before him and he pled guilty and he gave him the full proportion of the law. He gave him jail time for first offense and the largest fine possible. And he put his gavel down. He stepped down behind the podium and he took his robe off and he says, listen, I will pay his fine and I'll do his time. That's Jesus. Took off his glory. Well, sort of. And stepped into time and paid my sin debt. Let us close. Our God and our Father, we stand here with our hearts humbled at this very moment, recognizing that Jesus Himself had humility. Paul told us, let this mind be in you that was in Christ, that He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He laid down His life, the life that His Father had given Him to lay down. Jesus himself said, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. Thank God for that. For Father, we know now that the death that he bore on that cross was for us. The Word tells us if we believe that he died and that he was raised again, we will be saved. It's a guarantee. If there's any here as we close the service this morning that have never trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or maybe those that just want to come and pray, Father, however your Spirit moves in your people, do it at this moment as we close. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.